Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 161 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Wow, we are in second week after the election. It's still, I don't know how to describe it. The country is still not well. I'm going to put it that way. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of disbelief. There's numerous emotions. You know, the one emotion that I don't see, happiness. Very interestingly, and I'm sorry if the sound is weird here. I'm recording at a hotel. I'm on the road. I'm back in Phoenix. Things look good here, but I love Arizona, believe it or not, in spite of their politics. And there is no more Sheriff Joe, but that's a whole nother story. I don't know if you saw the video. If you haven't, you can easily Google it and look it up. There was an incident in Florida at a Starbucks where this white male felt for some reason he was being discriminated against. I don't know what it could be. Didn't get his coffee fast enough. Who knows? So he starts yelling at the barista who is a black woman, about it's racist and blah, blah, blah. And then he starts yelling, I voted for Trump, 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 blah, blah, blah. And, you know, more insults and crap like that. But the point being that at the end of the video, there's comments. And I'm not big on reading the comments, but there was one that was very interesting. And it brought up a point that I hadn't thought about, but it's absolutely true. No one's happy. You know, when Barack Obama won in 2008, there were a lot, you heard, I talked about it before. It's like the situation was flipped, right? Back then, the right wing was talking about he's the Antichrist, it's the end of the world, the end of America, blah, 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 blah. But his supporters were happy. There were parties, there was literally celebrations in the streets. People were nice to each other. The country took on a feeling of hope, you know, and yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of disappointment and anger in a lot of red states and extreme. But there was, I haven't seen any of that since Trump has been elected. I haven't seen anyone happy. I've seen angry people, his supporters, especially his core supporters, angry white men who are still angry. Now they're smug, but still angry, like this guy in the Starbucks. Or you have the secretive supporters, the ones who are in hushed tones. And I'll talk about that in a minute because that's very interesting. But the only people overtly happy, loudly happy, are the white supremacists and the extremists and the ones that the Trump supporters say, that's not really who we are. Well, they're the only ones celebrating out loud. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it was just a very interesting point, and it was interesting to see it. And we're gonna see a lot more of it. You know, we can go into all the stories of white power celebrations in schools and blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going to go into that. I'm just going to say that if you're a Trump supporter, you damn sure ain't listening to my podcast. But if you stumble across me, tell me why you're not happy. I'm curious about that. Why you're not just happy. But you won. And as a friend of mine, who is a brilliant businessman, once said, you know, learn to take yes for an answer. You got your yes. Why are you still upset? Now, I don't know which direction to go, like time-wise, which way I'm going to go. So I'm going to go right into the cabinet. The basket of deplorables. You remember that phrase? That was Hillary Clinton's phrase for half of Trump supporters. What we didn't know was the basket of deplorables could also describe the cabinet that he is building. We start with Stephen Bannon, the chief strategist, the head guy, the guy. This guy ran Breitbart website. He is a white nationalist, anti-Jewish, anti-Mexican, anti-black, anti-Muslim, you name it, he's anti, and he's never been shy about it until now. Now that he's in the public eye, so, well, no, that you misinterpreted my white nationalism, my white power support. You know, bullshit. We know who you are, but now he's in charge. Jeff Sessions, Attorney General. He's a Republican from Alabama. So you could pretty much stop right there. That pretty much tells you who he is. Under the Reagan administration, he couldn't be confirmed as a judge because he was seen as racist. And he hasn't exactly mellowed with age. He said that the NAACP and ACLU are communist-inspired. The Voting Rights Act is intrusive legislation. Now, he did speak out against the KKK because some members smoked marijuana. That's where his problem was with the KKK. So that's who we're looking at as the Attorney General. Mike Pompeo, CIA Director. This was a guy who's convinced Hillary was in on it at Benghazi. I mean, just was in charge of the whole thing and the whole cover-up. Investigated by the FBI, investigated by Congress when he was in Congress. So he felt the need to write this piece about how it was a cover-up done the day after, blah, 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 blah. This guy's owned by the Koch brothers. Okay. Mike Flynn, National Security Advisor, which is actually, I think, even more of a spy than the CIA director, like, because no one knows exactly what the NSA does. And make no mistake, these are guys who are all right, right down the line, who are all right with torture, waterboarding, you name it. They're fine with that. So if you have an attorney general, CIA director, and national security advisor, and president who are all okay with torture, guess what? You don't want to be brown. And I don't just mean Muslim, because you know a lot of Latinos, you got that vague look, like you could be. Well, you're going to look even worse underwater. I wish that was a joke. Mike Flynn, National Security Advisor, says Islam is not a religion, but it's a cancer and a political ideology. And all. So when you go in with these prejudices and this kind of hatred, what are the chances of you being fair? But this is the cabinets being built. And again, this is who was elected, right? So this is who's there. And it was really kind of interesting to me. And of course, whenever I need something, I can't find it. So there was an Irish politician, and I don't see his name right there, but he was talking about Donald Trump. And he said, there are 50,000 Irish people illegally in the United States. What's going to happen to them? Okay, if white people are scared, I've said this before, imagine being brown. He's Irish, and he talks about Trump being a fascist, and the Irish government won't call him out on it because of American money in Ireland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if he's upset, imagine being Latin, being brown, being vaguely, you don't look like you from here. Ugh. Now, moving on, because and that's a good time to move on, because here's something I'm tired of, okay? Stop asking me to give it a chance. Stop telling me that, you know, maybe they're not racist or that, no, shut bullshit, okay? Bullshit. The man is openly supported by white supremacists, by the Klan, and if you support him, you are okay with that. So don't tell me that I should make, you know, should be okay. Listen, ever since that night, we as a nation have been looking at each other side-eyed. This is the most separative thing. This makes OJ look like singing Kumbaya. You don't know who someone voted for. If you're black, you have to be suspicious when you're around white people. Okay, some white people are suspicious of other white people. Brown people, we're all going tribal. Everyone's going to their tribe. Damn country's going to look like a prison yard. It's ridiculous, okay? So stop asking me to give it a chance. Because first of all, did you give Barack Obama a chance? No. The day Barack Obama was elected, the Republicans came together and said, vote no on everything he says. So stop asking me to give it a chance. Now, a friend of mine who is a beautiful, friendly, open-minded, smart young woman, and I'm not giving names. I don't want you fucking trolling her. She sent me a very interesting article, and it says, the title of the article says, research says there are ways to reduce racial bias calling people racist isn't one of them. The reason she sent this is because we were talking about it, and I said someone who I've known and done business with for over 20 years came out as one of these, you know, Trump ain't so bad, give it a chance. And I was like, I don't know if I can continue to do business with this person. So the gist of the article, the study authored by David Brookman at Stanford University and Joshua Kalla at Berkeley, looked at how simple conversations can help combat anti-transgender attitudes. People canvassed the homes of more than 500 voters in South Florida. The canvassers, who could be trans or not, asked the voters to simply put themselves in the shoes of trans people to understand their problems through a 10-minute non-confrontational conversation. It worked. The trial found that not only were the anti-trans attitude declined, but they remained lower 3 months later. Okay, listen, that sounds beautiful, okay? There's so many, I'm not even going to go into that, because just having that calm conversation is going to be difficult enough. The article also goes on to talk about the white working class, right? The white working man, which is dog whistle. Okay, that's dog whistle. But how we should understand, because, you know, this is a guy who got laid off at the plant, right? And his kid is on heroin because opiates are so big right now. So we should understand and want to help him. And understand it's not racist. He just feels that America's not giving him a chance. Really? Really? How many black people is that their story? How many black people have, you know, have lost their job, have had a kid on drugs? We're not going to get into the whole thing of how drugs are injected into the community and all. But if you want to look at it, you can look at the parallels between the crack epidemic of the 80s and the meth epidemic of the early 2000s. And see, it's the same thing. It was just a different color. Crack epidemic in inner cities were black and Latino. Meth epidemic throughout the Midwest in areas that are white. But otherwise, it was the same thing. But anyway, so this poor white man lost his job. But he doesn't have to deal with the police fucking with him all the time because he's black or brown or maybe in the wrong neighborhood. He's not a woman who is deemed not fuckable enough. She's just not fuckable enough to have to be nice to, or maybe she is, and you can attack her and, you know, grab her by the pussy. You know, he doesn't have to deal with him. So no, I'm not going to feel sorry for him. I'm not going to make it easy for him to be comfortable with his racism because he has other problems. Guess what? We all do. Okay. How about they reach out some? How about they look at other people? How about they develop some empathy? In time, maybe I'll mellow. But right now, just like I told her, too soon. It's too soon. Don't ask me, don't expect me to make you comfortable with your racism, because I'm not, and it's not my job. We have done this. When I say we, I'm talking about black people, Latino. We have had to do this forever, okay? I'm a large black man. I'm 6'3", 248. I have to put people at ease that I'm not going to beat you up just because I walk into the room. Because, you know, that happens all the time, right? Just large black people walk in the room, just start beating the shit out of everybody. Living Color, a fantastic rock group from the early 90s, still touring, they're out there, but had a beautiful song, a brilliant song called Funny Vibe. And it was, why you got to give me that funny vibe? And it opened up, no, I'm not going to harm you. No, I'm not going to beat you. No, I'm not going to rob you. No, I'm not going to rape you. Why you have to give me that funny vibe? Well, because you're black. So that's what you're going to do. Just ask the Attorney General of the United States. Yeah. It is, it's bad. It's bad. They tell me to look for good. I don't know. Monday, I am doing, I'm going to be on Fusion with TYT, with the Young Turks, and we're going to talk about the first 100 days of the Trump administration. How do I not, no, I'm sorry, you know what I see the first 100 days as? If you've ever seen the opening montage from the movie Road Warrior, where they talk about the wars and the talking and the battles and the fuel and how it became that society. That's what I see the first 100 days at. Now, I'm going to pose a question. Who is bigger proof that anybody can be president, Barack Obama or Donald Trump? Just think about that. You had the first black president who was qualified, you know, the whole Harvard education thing, and he was a senator, however briefly he was a senator and so on, but, you know, but he's black. And on the other hand, you have Donald Trump, not qualified on any level, multiple bankruptcies, he's a businessman, married numerous times, kid. If Barack Obama had been done what Donald Trump had done, we wouldn't be worried about who was first black president. We'd still be looking. But anyway, who is more proof? Because Donald Trump, cult of personality, reality TV star, cash in on anger, blah, blah, blah. Who is bigger proof that anyone can be president? I find that interesting. DirecTV is completely off topic. Stop telling me I can take living room TV anywhere. Stop telling me I can watch TV all the time on my phone, okay, or DVR. The idea of going on vacation, the idea of living is to get away from TV. I can't take it. I'm sorry, people. I can't watch the news that much anymore. It drives me nuts. It drives me. Sometimes it angers me. Sometimes it depresses me. Sometimes I just give the hell up. I can't watch. Do I want to take it with me? No. No, I don't want to take it with me. Finally, I'm going to close with thank you for the support. There have been a lot of you, you know, I've been upset with this election and all. A lot of us have. I'm not making myself different or special. But people have, like, actually reached out and said that my jokes or my commentary or something has affected them, touched them, educated them, eased their day, whatever, and thanked me for doing it. That's fantastic. I appreciate that. I'm going to hang in there. Don't worry. I ain't quitting. What the hell else am I going to do? Drive for Lyft? No, I don't think so. Nothing against Lyft drivers, but not right away. I'm going to try to hang on to this joke telling for a little while longer. I honestly thank you guys for that support. I will hang in there. I will continue to do the podcast. I will continue to write material. I am not going to do shows that are an hour rant against Donald Trump. I ain't giving him that kind of press. I'm not doing it, but I will mention it because you can't not mention it. And I will say again what I've said for years about this, about whether it be Republicans or hate or you know, whatever small-minded thing. The reason I don't like it, because we are Americans. Everything they say is un-American. I say, no, we are Americans. And you know what we know? We could do better. We could have done better, but we didn't. Don't ask me to make this okay. Who's paying attention? I'm Alonzo Bowden. I thank you. November 22nd, Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Thanksgiving weekend, I'm headed out to Denver, the Denver Improv. I'm looking forward to it. Have a great weekend. I love you. Thanks for listening. And I wish I could say it'll get better.